Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
You're listening to Rabeau & Co. here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Louis Rabeau.
All right, time to get back at it here on the show. Rabeau & Co., ESPN 680, 105.7. We're taking you up until noon. Bobby V after us, of course, roundtable at 3 o'clock. He will have the mixtape for you at 5:30. Make sure you are tuned in for that. Of course, Inside Churchill Downs at 6 o'clock tonight as well. Want to thank Barinos and their team for bringing lunch by the ESPN Louisville studios, especially our guy George downtown there at 301 West Market. New location for Barinos downtown, 46 years in Louisville. Coming up on 47. Yeah, it's that good. It's Barinos Pizza. I want to thank them again for bringing lunch by the studio today. Look, I texted in, if Jerry's financing Arkansas, does he get a picture on the roster like he does with the Cowboys? What a great text. I personally texted that guy back. That's good stuff. Texter, how does Cal's hiring of Payne affect the Dallas Cowboys? See, you all get it. You all understand exactly what we're trying to do here. Understand how it affects the Dallas Cowboys. That's what every sports question comes back to that. We're doing a better job of that than Steve Rummage, who is the very stereotypical Cowboys fan.
Yes, no, exactly. Yeah. we probably talk more about the Cowboys than he does.
Oh, it's not a close. It's not close. Yeah, no, it's not close. 93.9 is very busy. It's very professional side of the things
Jaden
here.
Jaden Quaintance today.
Look, man, we haven't talked a lot of recruiting, and I'm very in wait-and-see mode because what I don't want to do is... Because I think people misconstrued earlier this week what I was trying to say is about Colin is the first name. Chandler is the last name. So Colin Chandler.
There we go.
Just the idea that he was some kind of momentum builder for recruiting. Simply, in my mind, no. But the other guys that are on list that are looking at Kentucky, et cetera, I'll listen. Right? No, I'm interested in that, but I'm also not going to judge Mark Pope at all on the first week of the job as far as recruiting or getting a staff together when there are rules in place at the University of Kentucky about listing jobs and how long it takes to get people in those positions. Not going to be critical of that. I also know it's not going to take 4 months like it did for Kenny Payne when he got here.
No.
So, like, I'm not worried about that part either. How we talk about these two guys, Zach, isn't about, and I tried to be very clear about this, is not what the basement or the floor of their programs is. It's rather what the ceiling can
be. The ceiling.
I can't figure it out. Now, I think we're going to know pretty early on with both if they fit at their spots and if they fit, on the floor especially. Mark Pope being, wrapping Hamilton and Rupp Arena to a full place after he walks off the bus with one of the most popular teams in Kentucky history is a different feeling than coaching a game at Rupp in the most different way possible.
We should have asked Gandolfo, by the way, did he cry when they came off the bus or did he cry after he wrapped Hamilton?
Oh, that's a great question. Or did he cry at both?
Did he cry at both?
For different reasons.
Yeah, because one made him uncomfortable, the other was sentimental.
Or maybe he loves Hamilton.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Those Gandolfo love
Hamilton.
You think
Hamilton, he's a Hamilton guy?
I don't know. He's doing a dance contest.
Let us know, Mike.
He's doing a dance contest. I never know what Gandolfo
is. If you're listening, let us know if you're a Hamilton guy.
Gandolfo, by the way, made an ass of himself last night. It needs to be said on the happy hour. Made an ass of himself. It's okay. It was all tech issues, so I don't know how much it's actually Mike's fault. But his setup did not work. The poor guy. It did not work last night, man. Anyways, our last of our Road to the Preakness shows was last night, in case. Yeah, Don Snorleone is a really good hashtag. Keith Olbermann did not come up with that on Twitter. Someone else said, I saw that weeks ago. But Don Snorleone is very funny. It's very funny. It also makes me sad that we used to be a proper country where we elected people that could stay awake the whole day. We don't do that anymore. It makes me sad. But
Uncle Bozy, you hear about that? Uncle Bozy flew over New Guinea.
We used to be a proper country. We used to be a proper country, too. And actually, I applied for the UK assistant job. I haven't heard back from UK, but fingers crossed. I get it, man. I got, you know, Zach, are you on LinkedIn? I actually don't even.
No, I'm not.
Okay, so I'm on LinkedIn, and once in a while, I'll see who that is, actually. It might be Gandalfo, actually. The thing with, with these jobs is LinkedIn, like, you just get job offers from things that aren't real. I don't know if anyone else is living this life. Like, we'd love to have you on our platform. And I'm like, platform is not money. that's not what that is. Platform does not mean money. Tell me what the money is. Texter, he cried when he figured out that his Pope couldn't get his shepherds to grant his prayers. Oh, I can't do that.
Sadly, it was not Gandalf.
Oh, the devil lives in Arkansas now. Was that someone objecting to some part of the show?
No, it was somebody who was looking for Maven and Roman.
Oh, there you go. Okay, how about that?
We get a lot of this.
That's okay. They take calls. So,
yes,
of course,
do.
They're going to call somewhere. It's all right. And Dieter uses our phones, and it's... I understand how that would be confusing. That one...
Oh, I get it.
That one I give a pass on.
Yeah.
All right, so let's head out to Santa Anita. We'll do a little handicapping here for a couple minutes. It is the Californian and Providencia days. If you don't know what those are, the Californian is their lesser... It's essentially a prep on the line to the Pacific Classic. So this is a mile and an eighth race, two turns for older... dirt horses four and up. They get $100,000 as part of the purse to be distributed to, unfortunately, a field of five. We're seeing a lot of this, unfortunately, in Southern California. Interesting race here because you've got a horse in Judge Miller, the two horse here trained by Mark Glatt, coming out of optional claimer company, but wins his second asking, going seven for a long stretches out to a mile. Santa Anita is going to go a mile and an eighth this time here. Has already got that two-turn experience. Ran a huge speed figure last time, Zach, 105. Has improved in speed figure, never been below 92 in his career, is running for the first time as a three-year-old in November, ran twice November, December. This is essentially his second time running this year. It's not technically second off the layoff, got a little bit of time between his last start and this one. Seems to be what they're going to be doing with this horse from here on out. I think he's absolutely on top, 4-5. Don't love the morning line, but I agree with John White that he would be probably about 4-5. Only caveat with him, Zach, if you wanted to go after it, never run in a stakes before. And he's running without Lasix for the first time. If people don't know, their medication rules in horse racing, whatever else. Essentially, he's going to be 20, 25 pounds heavier when he runs than if he didn't have Lasix like he did previously. But he is a $550,000 purchase into the September sale of Keeneland in 2021, son of Curlin. So all of it makes sense that he would be the top contender here. Mixto's in this race. He ran in the Santa Anita handicap last out at the beginning of March. Nice horse. Ran really well in the San Pasqual before that at a mile and an eighth at Santa Anita for Doug O'Neill. I think he's actually the horse to beat here is Mixto. I understand by speed figures that you would lean towards Judge Miller. It's a good angle at Santa Anita as well. But I would lean into Antonio Freisu and Mixto. Antonio, by the way, going to get his first mount in the Kentucky Derby this year with Stronghold. So interested to see what he does tomorrow as well. Mr. Fisk is on the outside, moved into graded company, two races back for Bob Baffert, under Native Diver in the Native Diver, grade three at Del Mar, two back at Santa Anita is 1-5 lifetime. So we're actually going to try to beat the Baffert in the ticket that we're putting together here. We're going to use the 2 and the 3 in this race and leave the Baffert out. I think by leaving out Baffert in Santa Anita, you can actually maximize your value as well. Go to race 8. It is the Providencia, grade 3, mile and an eighth on the turf course. Zach, I know you don't know these things, but horse tracks are all different distances and they have different configurations. Belmont has two turf courses, for example. Gulfstream's got a tapeta course on the inside, then a turf course, and then a dirt course. Like, and it's a mile and an eighth from start to finish. Santa Anita's like Churchill Downs. It's a mile on the dirt course from start to finish. And to get a mile and an eighth turf race, you have to start on the dirt. Because it's just the configuration of the track. They won't run at a mile and a 16th, but they damn it all, they're going to start on the dirt running at a mile and an eighth. I think they should probably just move to a mile and a 16th, but they're not going to be doing that at all. This is for three-year-old fillies, so it's a restricted race here. And we get Antonio Freisu, that name. Again, he's a top Maduro. She's a daughter of Honor Code, so they got her, you know, they bred her for $20,000. And that's a really, really good thing because they've already made $156,000 in purses with her. Topped out at 81 in the buyers. She's gone 75, 80, and 81 in her buyers. She is 3-3 lifetime, winning at 5 furlongs and then at a mile twice. But Louis, she's stretching out to that mile and an eighth that you mentioned. Could that be too long? Au contraire, Mon Frere. That is a Van Wilder reference. How about that? I think she's going to be great at the distance, and I think she's going to eat it up. Reminder that Honor Code is a son of AP Indy. English Channel on the dam side. I think she's going to love the distance, and I know this because she was neck and neck with a horse named Zona Verde her last time out in the China Doll, which is a listed stakes at Santa Anita, and she pulled away with an eighth of a mile to go in the mile race. She's getting another eighth of a mile. Look for her to win tomorrow by open lengths in the Providencia, the Three Maduro, my single in the late sequence at Santa Anita. The final race on the card is an allowance. It's an optional claimer as well. And no, your eyes do not deceive you. I want everyone to kind of understand the cultural implications of what's happening, unfortunately, at Santa Anita. Zach, and I'm not making any of this up. Clerical error. Overpaid purses, so they have to drop the purses now for winning races at Santa Anita. This race at Turfway Park a month ago would have been run for $78,000. It is being run at Santa Anita in Los Angeles and Pasadena for $55,000. That is not a sustainable model, and they have to figure out something else to do at Santa Anita, because if you can run that horse at Turfway freaking Park for half the price and 50% more purse, you're going to do it. Period. Conversation over. Eventually, the economics of the sport are going to override any desire to be in warm weather. It's just going to. This one's a little more wide open, and this is where we could probably find some value at the end of the card here. A nice field of 10 in here. Antonio Frace, who is on the outside horse. We're going a mile and a quarter, by the way, in this optional claimer. Fun one, Zach. You start at Santa Anita. It's almost like a 2.5-turn race because you start on the downhill turf course path, cross over the dirt to get onto the turf course, and then finish the race. At the distance, 1-for-2 is this horse, two times back, one on this track at this level. Is in for the tag because the horse has won. It's a daughter of violence, or excuse me, a son of violence. He's an 8-year-old Ridgeling. Is order and law. Zach, that's how you do it, by the way. When you name a horse and the dad is violence, you name the son order and law. That's just a good job. That's just a good job. That's a good job by those folks, by the Brand Jam stable. Good job. And so I put him on top 4-1. If we get that number, that's great. Umberto Rispoli is probably the best turf rider that is still at Santa Anita. He'll be aboard the 9, Calm Sea for George Papadromo. And interested to see this one. Already run 3 times this year. Finished 2nd by half a length at this distance last time out. I think a real, real contender here, the 10 and the 9, both absolute includes for us in this race. And then I would probably try to find a third or even a fourth horse to use in this spot. Maltese Falcon is a horse that's been in graded stakes company before, has been under the very best riders, gets Hector Berrios here for Leonard Powell. Frankie Dettori was aboard last time, lost by a length and a quarter before that, lost back-to-back races by a half a length. At some point, this horse is going to break through. Go a little skinnier here, 10-9-3 in the last race. So if you're putting together your late pick 3, dollar minimum. At Santa Anita, this is a $6 bet. The 2 and the 3, the 2 and the 3 in race 7. Then we'll use just the 3 in race 8. And then we'll use the 10, the 9, and the 3 in the final race at Santa Anita. $6 for that pick 3. My suggestion, play it for $3. Try to hit the race 3 times. Only cost you $18. You're still under $20 for your bet. And you get to follow along at Santa Anita for an hour. So there you go. Let's go ahead and call John Sherville. We'll get him in here and talk about the Zidane lawsuit. Easy for me to say. Ahead of the Kentucky Derby. And a little bit of Derby history that I wonder if people still remember from the early 80s. About how many horses can actually start in the race. Texter, don't know how much longer the Beth Haven coach will be a viable option for Pope. He better hurry up. Listen, I don't know if I can go public with this yet, but I'm going to because I'm a journalist. Obviously, by starting that way, you know that I'm going to lie about what I'm about to say. I'm hearing that whatever Pope offers the Beth Haven coach, Jerry Jones is going to double. That's what I'm hearing.
That was a lie.
It's just the world we're living in, people, where if Mark Pope thinks the Beth Haven coach is the go-to at this point. By the way, does the Beth Haven coach know that we make this joke?
There's
Has
no
anyone
way.
Told this coach? Is anyone doing God's work and actually going to Beth Haven and talking to the coach about how Louis Rabeau thinks he should be the next coach?
Do you realize you're a legend around here?
Does that guy have any idea? Or gal? I actually don't know. I don't know who the best game of coaches. I love the joke, though. I think it's fantastic. Oh, man. Texter, are we going to talk about the rag numbers with the rag numbers today? We're not doing that. Texter to Santa Anita, get Santa Anita wins. They do, actually. That's funny. Texter, well, hell, if he doesn't have LASIK, Dan isn't betting him. That's a good text. It's a good text. It's a good text. It is the question, no, because it used to be just horses had to figure out moving into new company. Right, running against better horses. It's one of the things about horse racing, Zach, it took me forever to wrap my head around, was that horses running against other horses, it mattered the class that they were in for their performances, and it was almost as though they knew that the when the horses were better around them. It's almost like they do, and I still don't believe it. Such a stupid thing to say out loud, but I just still kind of don't believe it. Texture is the Beth Haven coach. Have a beautiful family, I assume. Does his wife bake cookies? We find out next.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space.
To Rabot and Co. here on ESPN 680 1057. Now, here's Louis Rabot.
Ah, yes. We might make you crazy here on Rabot and Co., but hey, we get you through the week. I promise you every Monday. We'll do it 2 hours at a time. About 40 minutes to go here. Bobby V after us. And of course, Roundtable have mixtape for you at 5:30 inside Churchill Downs, 6 o'clock tonight. Now we go inside Santa Anita, but frankly, we're going inside the courtroom. His name is John Sherva. Joins us here on the show, latimes.com/sports. Find all their coverage there. John is here every single year covering the Derby. Zach, you'll have to check it out when you come over this year to the track. It's interesting because at Santa Anita, he has an actual throne. At Churchill, they make him sit on an old toilet that's been hollowed out. Good morning, John. How are you?
Yes, it's great to be with you. And I think you're right. Although I just thought I was on because did like Mark Pope cancel on you or what happened?
I got the same email everyone in radio got, which is he's busy. That's essentially how it goes. How are people reacting around the country to the craziness that is our coach searches around here?
You know, it's a big job.
It is a big
job. You know, we're just going to have to see. I mean, I frankly didn't know who he was.
Yeah, right.
Maybe you did, but I don't. Yeah. I don't follow college basketball that much, but. You know, we'll just have to see. I actually wrote a story the other day about when our columnist, Bill Plaschke, won the Red Smith Award. And I said that the one thing you don't want to do is follow a legend. You want to be the guy who follows the guy who follows the legend. But in Plaschke's case, because he followed Jim Murray as the columnist at the LA Times, you know, he's made it work for, you know, 25 years. You know.
Great point.
Mark Pope's got a little work to do to follow, you know, even though he kind of left in the middle of the night. You know, he's still a legend.
Yeah, no, that's right. John Sherva with us, LA Times. He's got the story up. He's been following the Baffert. And frankly, he was first to the paper, frankly, first to publish about the initial filing in court here in Jefferson County. It has been turned out. I thought the judge, and I texted this to you, John, yesterday. His response was a little more tactful than Churchill Downs's, which we will get to. But he said that the Zidane Racing Stables, quote, has transferred its horses to a different trainer, and those horses have been eligible to run in the Derby the previous 2 years. For the 2024 racing season, Zidane voluntarily made the decision to not transfer his horses to a new trainer. The court appreciates a once-in-a-horse's-lifetime nature of the Kentucky Derby, but the other aspects at play prevent this factor from weighing fully in favor of Zidane and injunctive relief. I thought this was a stunningly reasonable reaction to the suit. What says John Sherva?
Well, first of all, I like the judge a lot.
Okay.
I mean, I was not in the courtroom. I listened to it, me and about 20 other people on on audio conference. And I thought he was really good. And he was pithy. He was short. You know, this thing didn't drag out. The first one was about 75 minutes, and the second one was 23 minutes.
Yep.
And here's my summation of the whole thing. I thought neither team of attorneys, you know, fully grasped the situation as they did. They were arguing, you know, bullet points. I thought you could tell that the Zidane attorneys, including John Quinn, who is like, you know, a Hall of Famer. I mean, he's an L.A. attorney that is extremely good, didn't have the depth of background that you might have had or potentially I might have had on how horse racing works.
Mm.
And I think that was a negative. But, you know, the ruling by the judge, I think, was spot on the fact that Zidane did have an opportunity to move his horses, but he didn't, but was spot off on, I think, the next point of contention, that it would injure other horses if they were to suddenly add these horses. Well, no. You know, the Kentucky Derby has run with 23 horses, and in 1981, a judge ordered more horses be added over some coupling decision, which it would really bore people if we were to talk about that. but you can do it, and all you got to do is dust off that old 6 gate and just park it right up next to the 20 gate, and you could run a race. And the lawyers for Zidane never brought that up. Whenever they talked about the injurious nature of this of what this decision could be. And on the other hand, the Churchill lawyers kept talking about three horses when it was always only one horse, because Illusion, as I understand it, I don't know if it was in the amicus brief or not, would not have run in the Derby anyway because of some issue. And there really was no third horse. It's not like, you know, Wind Me Up or whoever would be in it. But yet, you know, Churchill stuck to their bullet points. Well, 15% of the field would be injured, you know, and that's just, and that point I thought was lost on everybody. But I think if you get to the very end of the decision, there was a bombshell where the judge said, in to paraphrase, that the concerns of the rights of a private entity, which would be i.e. Churchill,
yep,
supersede those of federal law, i.e. HISA. And I thought that was lost on a lot of people, but he basically said, yeah, no, Churchill can do whatever they want, but, you know, the hell with HISA. I asked HISA for a response in their normal forthcoming way, said we don't comment on litigation that we're not involved in. So I think that was part. So there was a lot to unpack from a week of hearings. And again, I give a lot of credit to the judge for his expediency. We are waiting as we speak to find out if Zidane is going to file an appeal. Yesterday they said they would. But then I got a call last night that said, you know, it's really up to Amer Zidane, and he's mulling it over. So they may file it, they may not file it, but if it happens, it'll probably happen today.
Yeah.
And then, of course, which is I know you want to talk to, and since you're a better reader than I am, I'll let you read it, was the single most arrogant give the middle finger to the court, give the middle finger to the process, give the middle finger to everybody involved statement from Churchill Downs.
Quote, "We are pleased with the court's decision today and believe Mr. Zidane may suffer from a case of Derby fever, which is known to spread from exposure to horses and is contagious this time of year. Symptoms can contribute to questionable judgment and in extreme cases can result in litigious behavior. There is no known cure. Nevertheless, we have communicated clearly about the rules of entry, which are the same for everyone and are non-negotiable. Contenders cannot sue their way into the Kentucky Derby. We wish Mr. Zidane well in the future and appreciate both his passion for the sport and his desire to see his horses compete on the first Saturday in May. Lots of different reactions to that. Obviously, if you are a person who is of pro Churchill Downs persuasion, you think that's fantastic. I think it's needlessly childish. What says John Sherva?
Oh, like I just said, you know, I think they gave the middle finger to the court with that. They've made a joke of this. This really wasn't a joke, and it just gets to the arrogance that Churchill Downs exhibits on a daily basis. And you know, if I were had any power, the person who wrote that would be gone today, because you have to pay respect to the court. Basically, they're saying, you know, oh, the courts don't matter. And I will disagree with you that if you're on Churchill Downs' side, that you would think it was fantastic. Anybody who appreciates or understands how the legal system works would, in a publicly traded company, would not have thought that was a good statement.
John Sherva with us. This could be a quick reply to this question. You mentioned a change in attorney here. Do you not use Clark Brewster because you don't want Churchill Downs to see Clark Brewster's name on the litigation?
Well, Clark was an ofer. You know, he didn't win any. Quinn is really good, and this is a different kind of. This was a totally different kind of case, and it was actually moved from regular court to business court, you know, I just think it's a change, okay. You know, just like a change of jockey. But I don't think it's at all a reflection on Clark, who probably did the best with what he could. But you know, they didn't win again here, so there you have it.
What do you think ends up happening today? Do you think they file essentially an appeal to this?
I think if they're smart, they won't, because they're not going to win it and they're not going to get it through in time. But what I would do if I were the Zidane folks is, the judge seemed rather insistent that he didn't want to see them back in 2025. And again, this was a big something that was not brought up on the first day. The second day is, Churchill Downs has been resistant to any kind of negotiation or conversation. And the judge says, why don't you two parties, you know, get together and try to figure this out and come up with a solution? And it is clear by the, you know, on the second day, on Wednesday, that the Zidane attorneys, you know, laid out exactly, well, we tried this, we tried this, we tried this, we tried this, we called Karstantian twice, he never called us back, and the Churchill attorneys responded by saying, well, we'll look at this after this litigation is over. Yeah, that's, you know, anybody who knows anything about litigation is, it's mostly a negotiation. And, you know, most litigation never makes it to trial.
Right.
But Churchill seems to be completely dug in on this. And you know, I don't know if we'll see Bob at the Derby in 2025, because they just seem so hell-bent on punishing a guy who hasn't had a medication violation in 2 years.
John Sherva with us. He's from the LA Times, latimes.com/sports. They're offering a 6-month subscription right now for $1. So you can get in and follow John's coverage all the way through the Triple Crown. For a horse like Muth, who has obvious talent, do you think we see him in the Preakness, or do they wait for a 10 furlong Belmont?
No, they'll run him in the Preakness.
Bob loves the Preakness. I mean, it came up on our show last night. He loves going there.
Yeah, he enjoys it. Nysos is definitely ruled out of it.
Okay.
And I think
any updates on Nysos at all? I mean, I still think, boy, if you're trying to pick out best performances this year, it might be like Senor Buscador in the Pegasus. It's probably Nysos there. What was that, the San Pascual?
And Fierceness in the Florida Derby.
Yeah, Fierceness Florida Derby. Maybe Mystic Dan up the rail at Oaklawn. I don't know. There are very few examples as good as Nysos. Nysos might be at the top of that list. Any updates on him?
When I talked to Bob at the Santa Anita Derby, he said that he's still walking the shed and that they'd start to work him out in 2 weeks.
Oh, okay.
Which is about now. But I said, does that rule him out of the Preakness? And he said, yeah, he's out of the Preakness. But
you think he's like a Haskell Travers kind of horse?
Yeah, I think. I don't think we'll. We might see him at Saratoga for the Belmont, but I don't know. Bob plays it all pretty close to the vest, and then he changes his mind.
Yes,
or at least changes what he said he was going to do at the very last minute. That's just how he works.
He's at a phase of his career where all of his owners have exceeding amounts of money, so he doesn't have to rush anything, right? I mean, he really just doesn't.
Well, that's part, he's got that core of owners that includes Zaydon, Michael Lund Peterson, Pegram Watson and White, Weissman, and that consortium, Tom Ryan consortium of SF Racing and Mattaket and blah, 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 blah.
You're getting ready to come up here for the Derby. What do you think, if there is no Baffert in this Derby, what is going to be the headline by the time we get to Derby Day?
That's a great question. I think there's probably going to be a lot of talk about Forever Young, the UAE Derby winner.
Okay, yep.
And then it becomes a really fun discussion of no horse from the Middle East has ever won in Kentucky. The Mendelsohn syndrome.
Yes.
Remember when we thought that was like, holy cow, how can this horse win?
$3 million.
So I'm thinking, that you throw out the UAE Derby winner every year until they actually show you they can win it.
Right.
And, then you lose. But, if you're playing that thing would have been successful for the last lot of years. And then it's Sierra Leone. How will there be a fast enough pace to set up to give him a chance? And then you talk about the bluegrass where he just was, freaking out, not wanting to go in the gate. And the jockey was saying, well, it was the noise. Well, the noise, guess what? He's going to Churchill Downs with 150,000 people. And then you've got Fierceness, who seems to be a bounce horse.
Yep.
Every other race, and this is not the race. This is the other after race, and so I think there's a lot of uncertainty in this year's Derby. We're still in that process of weeding down the field.
Yep.
Getting down to maybe under 20, maybe 20. I mean, who knows? Luckily, so far, although I don't think this is the mile marker yet. We haven't had any horses break down like we did last year.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good point, actually.
Sutherland Park Derby being out. And we're just going to have to wait and see. But this isn't like a Nyquist year or
I agree with you. Yeah, Big Brown or something. A Stronghold wins the Santa Anita Derby. Where does he... What tier of Santa Anita Derby winner is he in? Obviously, at the top would be like a Justify. What tier is he in?
Oh, he's in the second or third tier.
Okay.
His buyer was, 89, I think?
Sounds right.
That's not great. But here's something to remember about Stronghold. Where did he win his first race?
Churchill Downs.
That's right, in his second race. He's never finished worse than second. He finished second to Nisos, I believe, in the Bob Hope. I think there were only like four or five horses in that race. He finished second to in the Los Altos
Fraternity. Yep.
And then he came back and won at Sunland, and then again the Santa Anita Derby. And that was it was a competitive Derby. It wasn't a great Derby. It is the only California horse in the race, which is kind of unusual. Hmm. Normally there's two or three, and I've heard you on your pod say that Santa Anita Derby is a fairly decent predictor of
it is.
Not as much as the Florida Derby, of course, but a fairly decent predictor of Derby success. But I would be among those surprised if you wanted. It's Phil D'Amato's first ever Derby, might be his first ever Triple Crown race. He's achieved a lot of attention as a turf trainer.
Yes.
He seems to be a pretty good turf trainer at Santa Anita in Del Mar. Freysu, the jockey, has never been to a Derby. So I think it's a pretty big hill to climb to see him maybe even on the board.
Stronghold coming in and John Sherva with us. I'll let you get out of here. You mentioned that that win in his maiden race at Churchill Downs. Are you ready for the other horses that were in that maiden race?
The Wood winner.
Resilience ran second.
Resilience. And then there was, is there a skeleton in the horse or something?
Track Phantom ran third.
Track Phantom qualified
for the Derby as well. So 1, 2, 3 in that race are all going to be in the Kentucky Derby. Want to give a shout. My buddy David is listening right now, driving his FedEx truck. He was the one who pointed this out to me. But yes, so that race, John, it's funny because we tell people, hey, it's October. Hey, it's November. Watch the maiden races. You might see a Kentucky Derby starter, and boom, we had three in the same race one day at Churchill.
I know, that's amazing. But I think, again, for Stronghold, he knows the track.
Yep.
He obviously travels well.
Yes, he does.
I mean, and I think that was a mile. That was a two-turn mile, right? I believe that.
A one-turn mile here at Churchill, yes.
A one-turn, okay.
Yep.
One turn. But he's done well on two turns, so it's not like that.
Oh, that's not an issue. That's right, yeah.
No, he's got plenty left, and but you know that's probably not where I'm looking. But I'll do a story on him. You know, I'll certainly do a story on Phil D'Amato's first trip to Kentucky Derby. I asked him. I says, "You gonna ask for any advice?" He said, "I'm gonna talk to Doug O'Neill." Of course, Doug has won it with Nyquist, and I'll have another. And usually, you know, it's not unusual for him to have a horse in the Derby. He doesn't this year, but he knows how to do Louisville.
I assume D'Amato will keep Freysu aboard. A guy like Antonio, we're watching, for example, on Saturday, Juan Hernandez riding for Baffert at Oaklawn, you know, as like a Pratt is up at Keeneland, those kinds of things. I'm also seeing $55,000 purses in optional claimers at Santa Anita. How long until a guy like Antonio Freysu or whatever just ends up picking up his tack and moving out? I mean, are we looking at that here coming up?
You know, I think there's a lot of jockeys in front of him that, you know, like, again, a Juan Hernandez. How long is Juan Hernandez going to, you know, is he going to run for 55K for Baffert, or is he going to run, you know, for Brad Cox for 120K, you know? I think Freysu's next step is to move to the top of the Santa Anita Colony.
Okay.
I think that happens before.
Does he get the Derby mount?
Yeah, I don't know anything that says he isn't.
Good.
And Phil seemed to indicate after the race that he wasn't going to.
Well, he should. I think he should. That's good.
You know, and I don't know Phil's expectations is this is my best ever Derby. Well, it is his best ever Derby shot because it's his first one. But you know, I don't think that he sees this horse unless he really steps up. You know, moves forward as they say in the horse game in his next race. But that's why they run them.
There you go. That's why they run them. You heard it here first. John Sherva thinks that Stronghold's the next Medina Spirit type runner. There you go. He's going to just 14-1 pick off the Derby. There you go. These Southern California guys. All right. He is John Sherva at JCHERWA on Twitter. And of course, get latimes.com/sports. John, appreciate the time. I'm sure we'll catch up. But I did. That was not a fake picture. I got John. John's the reason they still make Chardonnay. I got you the 150 bottle of Kendall Jackson Chardonnay. How about that?
I know. I'm very excited. I just, you know, the kind of thing is, do you drink it? Yeah, I guess you drink it.
Yeah, you drink it. You drink the juice. That's right. No, you put it down. That's right. All right. John, thanks, John. We'll talk to you soon.
All righty. Take care.
There we go. John Sherman. All right. Everybody's favorite horse racing newspaper editor. There you go. Johnny C. Oh, it's an interesting thing we got going here. I just want all the best horses in the race, Zach. I wish people would just play by the rules and figure out what the rules are and do it and just do it and give me the best horses and let's get 20 of them on the same day, one race, just the best betting opportunity in the world. Man, oh man. By the way, all of our horse racing coverage on this show is presented by our friends at the Kentucky HBPA, KYHBPA.com. Go check them out. Tons of stuff leading up to Derby. Reminder, some remotes will be doing the next two Tuesdays. So get in with us the next two Tuesdays. This show, Tuesday morning, we will be out at Jay Shepherd Cigars. I'll be out there with Gandolfo, with Ennis, and our buddy Ron Flatter from Horse Racing Nation. I don't think I'm making a show sheet that day, Zach. I'm just going to warn you. I think we're just going to have fun. It's going to be great. So come on by. I'll have some giveaways. And Jason will get you set up for Derby Week, essentially, with all your cigars. The week after, on the next Tuesday, 7 o'clock evening, we'll be at Blind Squirrel for our annual Derby seminar. I would love to see as many people out there as possible. Again, no cover for that one. Just get in there. Plan to have dinner. Take care of the people over there at Blind Squirrel. We will have some very good giveaways on our end as well. So come, plan on hanging out with us the next two Tuesdays. This coming Tuesday at Jay Shepherd Cigars, and then, of course, at Blind Squirrel on Derby Week. We'll be back, wrap up the show, wrap up the week here on Rabone Co. ESPN 680, 105.7.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
Bit of disregard, handful of complaints, but I can't help the fact that everyone can see
you are listening to Rabone and Co. here on ESPN 680 1057. Now, here's Louis Rabone.
All right, welcome back in. Final segment, Friday edition, TGIF edition of Lincoln, I mean, of Rabone and Co. here, ESPN 680 1057. On the vinyl is Zach Cantrell. I'm Louis Rabone. Thanks for hanging out with me. We're getting tons of texts. They must be off the rails on the other side. They just must absolutely be off the rails on the other side. Texture, is it me or does Nick just take everything a little too far and weird? Texter, Nick has Greg Doyle vibes. Are we talking about that? Is that like an inbounds thing to talk about?
We talked about it the other
day. It's terrible,
it's
right?
Objectively creepy. It's awful. Yeah. And then his apology was worse somehow.
Man, this is a long text about the Derby, and I'm feeling it. Appreciate this person. Updated Kentucky Derby today. Their standings. Fierceness either wins or is off the board and out of the top four is premise number two. I think sometimes in the Derby you just have to do that. If you want to cash in, take the Fae, put them in fifth spot. Just be done with it. Fill out your tries with other horses. Fill out your exactions with other horses, and just move on. They're talking Cologne over there. Did Maven left, right? That's got to be what it is.
That would be my guess.
Okay, right. I got to get that contract.
Right? That's what I want.
The cologne talking contract.
That's right.
That's how you do that. Thanks to John Sherwood joining us in the last segment. Did you see this story in China about the half marathon?
Yeah.
So Beijing runner is disqualified after others slowed to let him win. And the reason I brought this up is actually because horse players love to do this where, oh, the jockey, you know, tried to lose the race so his buddy would win kind of thing. And, you know, when their horse doesn't win a race, something like that.
Right.
And Hei Ji won the Beijing half marathon last weekend. And it was confirmed that three other runners had slowed down to let him win the race. All right. So question for you, Zach.
Yeah.
Obviously, you and I are in agreement. There's cheating in sports and whatever else.
Correct.
Is China like a really bad place to cheat?
It's not a good one.
That's all my mind went to was like, I don't think I would cheat in China. A solid 100 countries I'd rather cheat in than
yeah,
China.
Yeah, no. There's real consequences
real
over there.
Legit consequences, man. All four runners were disqualified. They had to return the medals and award money. Chinese users, this is, by the way, this goes into something I do want to talk about. Had shared the video from the final moments of Sunday's race. Out of suspicion that it had been rigged, footage showed three African runners letting Hay, China's top long-distance runner, move ahead of them shortly before they were about to reach the finish line. The three runners deliberately reduced their pace, according to a statement from a committee set up to investigate the race. Now, there's like 70 things going on here. Okay. Number one, we just spent 20 years fighting in Afghanistan while China just colonized Africa and took over all their natural resources and all these things. So hearing that it's three African runners who slowed down for Hay politically actually makes sense.
Of course.
Okay. Number two, who's actually going to get in trouble here? Because if you pointed out that the government probably set up this race for the African guys to lose to the Chinese guy, do you get in trouble for pointing it out, for noticing that it's probably the government cheating?
Yeah.
Okay.
Me.
And number three,
real trouble.
Stop it. This reminds me of when people used to like call the PGA about stuff they saw on TV in golf matches.
Oh yeah.
He putted with the wrong part of the club.
How much of a loser do you have to
you
be?
You are
to
the
do that?
Bottom of sports. You are the bottom of sports.
Society.
Good Lord. Just the worst version. I thought that story. All I could think was, that's not a good place to cheat.
No. I wouldn't have cheated there.
Text here, are the Jonte Porter and horse racing jockeys betting a fair comparison? They are. They are. There is a fair amount of... I saw someone the other day on Twitter. I forget who it was, but they suggested that jockeys be allowed to bet, but they have to post all of their tickets before the races.
No, that's right.
I think that's reasonable. I think they should.
They made Jonte Porter an example.
We haven't gotten into that texture. What's worse, cheating in China or beating a Chinese runner in China? Yeah, see, that's...
All the above.
I think there's a lot of elements to that, man. That's it there. Nick explaining what he thought about Twin Peaks and also about mountains. He never disappoints. Oh, Lord. Thank you for telling me. That's terrible. I texted you, do Africans really need help to win marathons? No, they're great at it. It's probably one of the underrated traditions in the world is distance running in East Africa.
Yeah.
Like that's, instead of throwing the ball around, that's what you do with your parents, right?
You just run.
Yeah, right, exactly. It's actually underrated. That's the tossing the football or the frisbee at a tailgate of African traditions in that part of Africa, you know.
I wouldn't want to go to those kind of tailgates. I just wouldn't.
Eliud's running up the hill, go.
Yeah.
What? I thought we were drinking beer and hanging out. No. Run
no,
with Eliud.
Run. They're doing the beer runs, what they're doing. Beer mile.
Beer mile. Is there beer? No, we just call it the beer mile.
We just did this to get you here. Now run.
You know, it's funny. I'm sure in the moment I hated it, but I learned a ton from running cross country. I've talked about it on the show. My coach died last summer. I talked about him. I think he's the only person I eulogized on this show. And I learned so much. So many of the things I had to learn about tracking times and workouts and different things, I still apply to what I do. Like, our show sheet is based on that, believe it or not, Zach.
Hmm.
So, yeah, no, I mean, it's that old. I started doing, 16 started running? 15? Something like that. Yeah, Coach Barr, really, really great guy, really taught me a lot about organizing progress and those sorts of things. But yeah, just a funny thing. I want to close the show with this. So Jaromir Jagr scored last night in a hockey game, his first one after turning 42, and it actually makes him the oldest person.
52.
Or 50. What did I say?
You said 42.
Sorry. Thank you. Turning 52, surpassing Gordie Howe to become the oldest player taking regular shifts in a professional ice hockey game. And I wanted to do this because I think we're entering an era where a guy like Gordie Howe is getting the Dan Issel treatment, and everyone's forgetting how great he was at the time. In his last season, in his 50s, after 24 years of professional hockey, in his 25th season, he played 80 games for the Hartford Whalers in the NHL, had 41 points.
Yeah.
He had more than a point every other game as a man in his 50s playing every game for the Hartford Whalers. And I have to hear about Jaromír Jágr playing in a relegation tournament in Czechia. We're not doing this. We're not doing this. Age and how effective you were as a player are very different things. We're not doing this. Gordie Howe, it's him and Gretzky. They're the GOATs. That's the conversation.
If Lemieux
doesn't get sick, he's way up there.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, the lymphoma really
Messier
did take years.
Up there.
Messier's next tier down. He's very good. Bobby Orr is probably in that top tier.
Yes.
You get back to guys, you know, some of the Canadians guys, Maurice Richard. Yeah, Richard, thank you, the Rocket. And then, you know, those guys, you get into that. Gump Worsley is a goalie. You get back in those days. But Gordie Howe playing 80 games in his 50s and having a point, more than a point every other game, is insane.
He played a shift in 1997 for the Detroit Vipers.
I know.
He was in his 60s.
No. He wasn't in his 60s. He was 69.
Nice.
Dude was almost 70. So I just...
Do you know what the Gordie Howe hat trick is?
Yeah. Goal, assist, fight.
That's right.
Damn right.
The best kind of hat trick.
You're damn right, dude. I just... Can we talk about Jágr's lady, though? Look, listen, I'm not saying Jágr's losing at life. Let's settle down.
Oh, no. He's winning.
Oh, he's winning.
He's 52 years old, and he's still getting paid to play professional sports.
100%.
That's winning.
And he brought that girl to the penguin ceremony, and he was like, yeah, all this happened before she was born, and then he just kept going. My man, Jaromir, you're getting it done. I'm not worried about Jaromir in his private life, which he has made public. But Gordie Howe's the GOAT. We're not doing this. Now, I want to be fair to ESPN.com. It's not like the article's about why Jaromir Jágr's better or something. We're Roenick and Chelios behind Brett Hull. I'll put it that way. Yeah. Actually, Brett Hull's better than both of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an interesting conversation. But the top tier in hockey involves Gordie Howe. It involves Wayne Gretzky.
Wayne Gretzky's on his own.
He's just playing. Different, man, because the game... wasn't played the way that he played it, and he forced it on the NHL.
Of all the major sports,
it's stunning.
You can have a GOAT discussion in the NFL, the NBA, baseball. There is no GOAT discussion in the NHL.
Not in modern hockey.
It's Gretzky.
Yeah,
that's it.
There are. We had this conversation a couple years ago. Like, which sports have the no doubter GOAT?
The NHL.
And hockey's one of them. The only other ones I could come up with is like, and I apologize in advance for what I'm about to say. Karch Kurai in beach volleyball. Like, he's known as the GOAT, like the originator, like he's that dude. Like, he started the beach volleyball movement in California. Like, he's known as that guy. I think Tony Hawk in skateboarding is that guy.
Yep.
But there's very few examples, man. It's so short.
Not even Tom Brady.
Because I think like Mark Spitz was one of those guys, and then
it's Phelps.
Then Phelps comes
now
along.
It's Phelps.
But I don't think he's undisputed because I think people look at Spitz as one of those guys still, right? And that kind of thing. And the only other name that I've heard that I would run with is Usain Bolt. I think as a sprinter,
he's
the
best.
Carl Lewis is great, but damn, dude. I mean...
Oh, it's not close. It's Usain Bolt.
He would get to the top of the sport and he would embarrass people.
Yep.
He would make faces. Running that spin, it's unbelievable. All right, we got you through the week. We make promises. We keep one of them. It's that we'll get you through the week here on Rabeau & Co. ESPN 680, 105.7, alongside Zach Cantrell. My name is Louis Rabeau. You can find me on Twitter at Radio Louis. Find the station at ESPN 680. Bob after us, roundtable 3 o'clock. We'll get you into your weekend with the mixtape at 5:30 and, of course, inside Churchill Downs at 6 o'clock. Hey, have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you on Monday at 10 o'clock. Be here.